This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. What is poppin'? The question of the morning, the question of the day, the question we always ask. Welcome to Dudes in Christ podcast. If you're a first-time listener, we want to say welcome. We hope that you enjoy what you're going to hear. If you are, if you've been listening, we want to say thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in again. And
welcome. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
What's up?
So, I'm Joshua Garris, and with me, as always, is the gentle giant, Justin Fowler.
Wow. And I've never been called a gentle giant before.
Oh, wait, what do you hear? The man of few words who speaks with great passion,
great
Josh
passion.
Cullen.
Thank you.
How are you guys this morning?
Good. How are you? Oh, yeah.
Great passion. I like it.
We are present.
It's the best we could expect.
Josh is not a gram of caffeine in yet, so he's not quite woke up.
Trying to get there.
Yeah, he's sipping away. All right, so what's been going on, guys?
100-mile yard sale in this area. Memorial Day weekend.
Trying to navigate the 100-mile yard sale.
Trying to navigate, yeah.
Josh picked up some fresh decor.
Yeah, got some decor for the pod slash man cave.
Metal guitar, man cave sign. Right on. I didn't drive 25 at all yesterday, so I didn't have to navigate the 100-mile yard sale.
I haven't hit it yet either.
Well, I mean, it's your typical heavy spots you had to watch for. Well, I always watch for kids, especially when there's cars on the side of the road, because they just dart out.
Well, and for those of you unfamiliar, we live in Southeast Missouri, and there's this annual thing called the 100-mile yard sale, and it's on a 2-lane highway that goes 100 miles through our region.
The name kind of gives it away.
Yeah.
And very busy. It's a busy road at that, too. A lot of semis coming through.
Hauling farm stuff. And
if you have to travel through Southeast Missouri, Highway 25 Memorial Day weekend is a no-go.
Yeah.
Reroute. In a hurry.
Reroute.
Yeah.
People hot chasing those deals and willing to run out in front of your moving vehicle to get to them and to beat others to them.
Yep.
Like we was at a stop sign there in Dexter at the dealership there, and like a police car was sitting there, and I was like, well, tow tab said, well, he's running tags, that's what he's doing. Well, then he pulls out and blocks our lane and gets out and starts directing traffic. I was like, no. And we hear sirens coming and blasting through 80 miles through the town. It was two, three police vehicles, an ambulance, and some first responders.
Wow.
And they just blasted. I guess he was holding up the traffic there. It was a pretty busy intersection. They blasted through, and then he fell in behind him. But heard it was a motor vehicle accident up there somewhere.
Definitely prayers for that family.
Yes.
What do you got, Justin?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. I missed a day of training this week, so I had to kind of play catch up yesterday, but it's going pretty good. Work's rolling on. Was off yesterday, so that was pretty awesome. Got to catch up on a little bit of Z's, doing some work around the house, stuff like that. Just hired a nutritionalist.
What?
Yeah. So, something to kind of keep me accountable, because I'm the type, if y'all haven't already known, like every 4 weeks or something, I'm like changing my diet. So I need somebody. I told her, I was like, hey, come meet time, I want to be in the 242s in December. And I need you to say, hey, dude, this is what we're doing from here, like here on out. I don't need no bumps in the road. I don't need no decide to do a carnivore challenge in the middle of nowhere. And
so meat day is December
4th.
And you're wanting to be in the 242s, which, again, for those of you unaware, powerlifting is on meat days broken up into weight classes, and they're usually 15 to 18 pounds a piece. And so what are you having to do to get down to 242? Like, where are you sitting at right now?
Right about 260. I've kind of been cruising to 260, which I'm actually down a little bit. I got up to like 273 before last meet. So
who's the nutritionist?
Julie Anto, you know, Christian Anto with the Lead FTS, and she's with the Lead too, but yep, it's her. So
sweet.
She sent me all of it last night. So
we already discussed how to cut weight. Sugar-free gummy bears.
Yeah, sugar-free gummy bears for instant results.
Yeah. And drink magnesium citrate. Yeah. Chase them.
It'll clear you out.
Well, I saw you at the gym yesterday. I wasn't working out at the time. We were fixing the back parking lot. We found like 5 tons of gravel for free. Oh, we just had to load it into a truck.
I seen you walk in, and I'm like, where'd Josh go?
Did you shovel it all?
Sure did.
Ooh. Yeah.
Dadgum, son.
Me and the father-in-law and a little bit of Eileen shoveled it into the back of a couple pickup trucks and then came and spread it out at the gym. So
you know, you could have said, "Hey, do you want to come shovel
some conditioning?"
GPP.
And the worst thing was, like, I had worked shoulders early in the day and had deadlifted the day before, and so somewhat foolishly was like, "I'm going to do some extra sets of, you know, medial delt stuff and trying to work some of the muscle between the shoulder blades and develop it." And then I get out there. So
really got what I asked for.
Yeah. But, so that's what, awesome. I don't know. Part of the gym ownership game is fixing the parking lot. Yeah. So
yeah, I was actually, cause I was that day yesterday, I was waiting. Traffic was just banging there for a minute. So I was like, man, I wonder if the back's open up. I was going to pull around. I was like, oh, I see a cone out there, so no, just wait. So I didn't even know y'all were shoveling back there.
Man, that cone's been out there since they fixed the gas line.
So firming up where, you know, not walking back there?
We basically just patched over a couple areas that were really low spots.
Yeah.
And then, of course, where they had dug up all the pipe. And Eric Snipes had fallen knee deep into a mud hole. We made sure and filled that hole in, but you can't even looking at the lot. We only hit about 10-15% of it. So
cool.
Anyway,
right on. Yeah.
So that was what was up with me. But all right, guys. So if you're just joining us, make sure and go back and listen to last week's episode. We started talking about the love of the father. Father's Day is coming up, and Josh had taught a lesson on, you know, the love of the father, and we wanted to kind of go back and we divided it up into two parts. We wanted to go back and look at the love of the father in the Old Testament, and admittedly, last week was kind of difficult to get through, to just be transparent. I mean, it was difficult, of course, trying to take what we had learned and put it into words, but in studying it out, I know I personally found difficulty with it. A lot of times I think we go into Bible study trying to make what we already have in our mind, trying to make the Bible fit that. And then when that's not the case, coming to terms with that is difficult. So we looked at the love of the father and as evidenced by the provision and discipline toward the children of Israel. He's often referenced as father, not often, about 15 times in the Old Testament, and more often than not, that is as the father of the nation of Israel, not necessarily in a fatherly role, but we definitely see that. We left off kept it in the Old Testament, left off with a little bit of allusion to what we're going to talk about this morning. And I have to say, personally, thank God that there is a second part to this.
Yeah.
Because you really see the love of the Father when Jesus comes on the scene. So that's where we're gonna start off today. And I'm gonna let Josh or Justin take it away, guys.
Well, I just wanted to dip our toe back into the Old Testament just for a verse, just to kind of understand what Jesus kind of bore to get us into the love of the Father. You'll pick up in Isaiah 53, and if you ever got time to read the whole chapter, read the whole chapter, and it'll really, it's just tough to read just because you kind of read through what all Jesus went through. And then if you look at the reason, it was ultimately for us. But Isaiah 53:5, just pick up and read a couple of verses. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And just kind of that, going back to that Old Testament, love of the Father, where we kind of see it as like correction. You know what I mean? It's like God was looking for obedience, and if it wasn't there, you've seen the correction. And instead of continuing that path, he sent his only son, Jesus. You know, it says here, crushed him for us. So that kind of just opens your mind to how important, for one, Jesus coming is, and the things that he took for us. And then I have several verses of kind of seeing the importance of love, you know, in the New Testament. But, you know, Jesus coming, you know, he had a lot of things planned to do. You know, he was pretty evident that his way was to the cross. You know, it was pretty point blank. But he done several things in between then. You know, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to reveal the Father. And I think that's kind of where my mindset was going, through the revealing of the Father. I did have 1 John 4:15 wrote, and Josh, if you kind of get a point in there, just stop me at any time. 1 John 4, if I can hit my thumbs right. But all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our own trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So even though we didn't really see the love of the Father directly in the Old Testament, it took him sending his son so we can actually, that can be revealed to us. And that was just kind of the eye-opening thing that I seen as Jesus stepped on the scene, is really displaying the love of the Father. Because, you know, Jesus said, some people like have that idea of like, oh, God was this chastiser, and then Jesus came and like changed his mind, you know, and that's not the case at all. You look that, you know, Jesus says, I think it's in John as well, you know, the words I speak are from my Father, you know,
yeah.
I do the things because of him. So.
And when, like we've been saying, the Old Testament, we kind of see the hard love of the Father there, like a disciplinary figure. Hebrews 12:7 says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. And since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? And so, like, we kind of looked at it in the mindset of, like, man, if he loved them so much, why, why now go kill all your kids?
Yeah.
Just a big thing there, but we have to understand that discipline is love,
yeah,
too. And that's a growing point that as we read through the Bible, we understand more that that's what it was.
That's what Tab was saying before we started, is correction is not rejection, which I thought that was
pretty good
deal. Just because, you know, I'm correcting you, for one, I'm not rejecting you, but I'm correcting you because I love you and you know, I know the plans I have for you, and this is, you know, this is sometimes what it takes to get your mind right, if you will.
Yeah. It took a lot of them for me growing up.
Still taking them free.
Didn't know at the time. I'm like, what? You don't love me? You're hitting me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, love me.
Now I have kids. I'm like, love you.
Never spare the rod.
No. They'll do it for, like I said, for the love of the children. Keep them on the right path. Make sure they understand what they're doing. And then a lot of times, too, it's for their safety. Like,
yeah.
You know, you kicked your sister in the back of the head, you could have killed her.
Right. Hey, never know. I mean, Ruckus, you got anything you want to hop?
Well, I think I look at Christ as the, I don't look at it. He's the perfect bridge between all the stuff we talked about in the Old Testament, because obviously the two things we really hit on were provision and discipline. And, you know, you guys just talked some about discipline, but to take it back to provision, is God had given the children of Israel the law, and then he made the provision of sacrifice for atonement.
Yeah.
Well, in Christ, I mean, Christ was, you know, the fullness of God, the fullness of the love of God, and the ultimate fulfillment of the law and of sacrifice. And, you know, when you were reading Isaiah 53, I mean, he bore all of that. And I think the thing that really strikes me is he bore it willingly because he knew how necessary it was. And it's like, there would have been no way. There would have been, for us, there would be no hope. And there is no hope outside of Christ. I mean, he called himself the way, and that's ultimately true. There's no other way to the Father, and there's no other perfect provision of love by the Father outside of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's kind of hard to unpack, and it's really even harder to understand, is that God shown his ultimate love by sending, you know, sending Jesus.
Yes.
Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. And then you go back to like one of the most quoted, John 3:16, you know, he sent his son. And that is something that I think for me and probably several others are still trying to understand through the revealing of the Father, you know, Jesus revealing the Father, is kind of understanding God's love is one of the hardest things we'll do as Christians, I think. And I know that sounds kind of contradictory, but it's, we use the grace message to kind of say it's going to be all right. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be all right, but once you really understand the love, the grace message is like, okay, we got to turn it up a notch, not necessarily like live how we want to. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, cause you look at the New Testament, not to change gears here, but you know, we look at like some Old Testament talking about adultery and stuff, you know, how you shouldn't engage in relation outside of marriage, et cetera. But then in the New Testament, through the grace, it talks about, you know, don't even look.
Yeah.
you know, so it's, grace isn't like everything's going to be okay. Grace is like, actually, all right, I sent you Jesus, and in doing that, I sent you the Spirit. So now it's time to up your game a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just understanding all that is pretty tough for me.
So, I mean, I don't want to get preachy, but I feel like it's important to take a moment because there may be people who are listening and don't. I'm not going to say I don't mean don't understand this, like it's beyond them, but I hesitate to say simple message of the gospel, but I feel like it's important to just talk about that for a minute, that we are all sinners by nature, just born into it, and there is only, you know, at the end of life, if you haven't accepted Christ, there's only death and the wrath of God, like the full, you know, wrath of God and judgment. And, you know, I don't know, there's, you know, the sinner's prayer that we talk about in church, and you see people come to the altar and confess, and that's when, you know, God's been working on them, I guess what we see typically through, you know, a sermon, but not, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit, convicting us, and getting to that lowest point where we actually realize we are sinners and flawed, and have come to that understanding that there's only one way, you know, out of that. And that's like the work of Christ, and that's what you see throughout the New Testament, is that all of our sinful nature died with him when he made that ultimate sacrifice of his life on the cross, and we are born into new life with him when he resurrected. And for those of you, I even want to take a step back, and for those of you who don't know, you know, the man named Jesus came and lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, was nailed to a cross, you know, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and fulfilled everything that's written in Isaiah 53 that Justin talked about earlier, and was put in a grave and arose from the dead, you know, three days later. And we have that new life with him. And if you look at Romans chapter 8, we see a lot of our hope. 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. I mean, it's right there in black and white. You've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So by belief in Christ is the only way that you become a child of God. And Romans 8 also talks about us, or about him being the firstborn among many brethren. So, you know, Jesus died and was resurrected to new life as our first, you know, firstborn brother. And when you come to accept Christ, you are, you know, in the family. You're a child of God, an adopted child of God.
Absolutely. And I want to take a quick, I want to challenge some of those people out there that do know him and have accepted. Maybe they've done it a long time ago, saying a simple prayer. And I'm not saying that did or didn't secure your eternity. But if you just said a simple prayer a long time ago, and I don't want to say your life doesn't reflect it, but you really don't have a relationship. You know, you don't have that, kind of like DA was talking about when he was here. You're not really born again or nothing. There's no fruit, you know, you'll be judged by your fruit. And what is your fruit? But, just challenge yourself to get in relationship with him. Don't bank on a prayer that you said 30 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not here to judge whether you are or aren't saved. That's not my position, but I will challenge you to seek a relationship. You know, read Isaiah 53 and realize what all Jesus suffered for you, for me, for us.
Right.
And I think if you really take that to heart, it will really make you press in a little harder to establish a relationship with our Savior.
Yeah, because the grace that Jesus brought with him that's something I think the grace will never understand. The love of God, I don't think we'd ever understand, because I couldn't see giving up one of my children for a bunch of heathens, you know. And
your
enemies, even at that, think it that way. And so that's one thing, the father's love there, I don't think we'll never know until we get on the other side.
Yeah.
And the grace that Jesus brought for such unworthy people that we are, mm-hmm. in the things that we do, you know, we won't fully understand that. And as we try to understand it, it corrects our walk with him, our relationship with him.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that I don't think we'll ever realize.
Yeah, it's tough. A lot of it's still, you know, God is a mystery. And our ways aren't always, the ways we think aren't always his thoughts.
Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So we won't understand that Father without Jesus allowing us to understand the Father. So we can see the Father through Jesus. Through Jesus' life, we see the love that God had for us.
Yeah. And just to talk about the love he has for us, and it's so, like, if you had to have one word to sum up the New Testament, it would be love, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like Jesus' main message, you know? He came and like, he was weary, you know, people come to him, he still served them, he still healed them, and that just speaks, he's like the perfect example, you know, it tells us to love the Father, but also love each other, and it's just, I don't know, it's so amazing, the example he brought of how important it is to love one another.
If you think about all the, what they had to do pre-Jesus to have that relationship with God, they had to sacrifice an animal, keep it in their house. When they had to keep it in their house for a year, keep it clean. Mm. The priest examined it, not Jesus. Yeah. The priest examined and decided if it was a worthy sacrifice. And was it Romans 5? I think, yeah, 5:20. God's law was given so that people could see how sinful they were. So we seen by him giving the laws, the Ten Commandments, the other things that he revealed through the prophets, we could see where we wasn't right.
Yeah.
He said, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So to get to that grace, it has to be through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then that grace covers us on where we come short of the law, because we'll never be able to follow that law.
No.
I just want to go back to Justin's challenge, actually. Just talking about, you know, the sinner's prayer and the sincerity of it.
Yeah.
And pushing in a little deeper. And I think something to part of that challenge is asking yourself if you are a new creature, and do you see new habits? And in 2 Corinthians 5, we're told that if any man be in Christ, so if you are, if you've accepted the blood of Jesus and you have been transformed, because, you know, the spirit of God living in you is transformational.
Yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Are you living a transformed life? You know, like, is it evident that something's been transformed in you? And if not, certainly, like Justin, I'm not saying that you know, that salvation isn't, your salvation isn't legitimate or anything like that. But I definitely would say for all of us, you know, if we examine something and don't find it to be transformed, it's the same as it always was, then that's the time to push in a little deeper and take hold of all this grace that we're talking about, everything that's been offered to us through the blood of Jesus. And, you know, he ascended and the Holy Spirit, you know, came and is now our comforter. And, you know, you can, when you take on the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is resident within you.
When you do that too, you know if you've taken on that spirit, because there will be pushback from the world.
Yeah,
there always is. That if you're not receiving any pushback from the world, then maybe reexamine your walk with Jesus.
Yeah, or the world will hate you.
Can I rewind?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's part of your transformation. You know, part of the evidence that you've been transformed.
Yeah, part of it.
When you're filled by the Spirit, you automatically become hated by the world.
So yeah, John 15:18 says, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I choose you to come out of this world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you." So, I mean, it's evident. Once you take on security in eternity, you know, it comes with the price, but that price, I can promise you, is definitely worth it.
Yeah. I ran across this before we started flipping pages. Romans 6, "Do not let sin control the way you live, and do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you are dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." So if your walk with Jesus is correct, and in a way, you'll see that pushback, because you won't be using yourself as an instrument, so that the instruments around you that are being used as an instrument of sin, you'll notice that there will be a pushback from it.
Good old conviction.
Yeah. And that conviction is the love of the Father.
Yeah.
Too. That's that voice in the back of your mind saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be here.
Probably shouldn't have done that. It's a process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it wasn't a process, we would take credit for it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm so holy. Look at me.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm striving to be there, knowing that we will never fully arrive at that, but, you know, in that walk, striving to get there day by day. That, you know, I have that Father always watching out for me and everything that I do, loves me no matter what I do, and is always waiting for me to return like the prodigal son, you know.
Yeah.
If you ever mess up, oh, God's waiting. He's there waiting on you to return.
Yeah.
You ain't gotta go eat the pig slop.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can come back home.
Yeah. That's good. Amen. Will, Ruckus, yep. You got anything on your heart?
I just wanted to end on a message of hope, and I feel like that took it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you don't have nothing else on your heart, Josh, we'll end this thing. We thank you guys for listening. The shirt order, as you would hear this, is already put in. So thank you if you ordered a shirt. This little series, we wanted to do it. We fought back and forth. We're like, should we even do it? Because it's, you know, it was kind of hard because it's such a broad topic, and you almost need to have like studies just to lead you to the point. So we kind of try to just condense it to keep it in a format where it's like concentrated. So some of this stuff might be a little hard to digest, but we kind of challenge you and urge you to get your Bible out, you know, read some of these scriptures we've talked about, read ahead of them, read after them, look at cross references, you know, like our main goal for this podcast is, you know, we love encouraging you guys. We love bringing, you know, little teachings here and there. And we love just conversating, you know, having you guys as friends and keeping you in the loop of what's going on. And we, you know, we are interested in things you're doing as well. But like the main goal, I believe, for this podcast is get you to pick up your Bible, you know, for you to read on your own, for you to walk with Christ more prevalent, more strongly, to get into your own relationship with Christ. So that's our main focus. So I know this little two-part series was kind of a little different than we normally do. It was a little slower paced, it was a little more focused on, you know, verses. You know what I mean? We try to keep like a lot of opinions, if you will, out of this and make it strictly the word. So we urge you to go, you know, and just as a little nugget to take home with you and put in your pocket, you know, anytime you listen to somebody speak, go check it out for yourself. You know, don't rely on some, even if he's a big time preacher, you know, even if it's us, even if it's family, you know, not saying these people are wrong, but go and search for yourself, do your own digging. And, cause that's ultimately how you establish your own relationship with the Father. So saying that, we love you guys. We hope you continue to support us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Hope you're blessed.